get away. Thus it is by Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yes, so this morning we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam Kanto 4, Chapter 8. Dhruva Maharaj leaves home. Text 78. Adharam Mahad Adinam Pradana Purusheshvara Brahmadara Darayamanasya Trayo Lokash Chikampire. Translation. When Dhruva Maharaj thus captured the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the refuge of the total material creation, and who is the master of all living entities, the three worlds began to tremble. Oh. You understand English, okay? Mother Robin and Petit Peur? What's enough in Creole? Assez. Comprend. Okay, so let's read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's quite a long purport. In this verse, the particular word Brahma is very significant. Brahman refers to one who not only is the greatest, but has the potency to expand to an unlimited extent. How was it possible for Dhruva Maharaj to capture Brahman within his heart? This question has been very nicely answered by Jiva Goswami. He says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the origin of Brahman. For since he comprises everything material and spiritual, there cannot be anything greater than he. In the Bhagavad Gita also, the Supreme Godhead says, I am the resting place of Brahman. Many persons, especially the Mayavadi philosophers, consider Brahman the biggest all-expanding substance, but according to this verse and other Vedic literatures such as Bhagavad Gita, the resting place of Brahman is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the resting place of the sunshine is the sun globe. Srila Jiva Goswami therefore says that since the transcendental form of the Lord is the seed of all greatness, he is the supreme Brahman. Since the supreme Brahman was situated in the heart of Dhruva Maharaj, he became heavier than the heaviest. And therefore everything trembled in all three worlds and in the spiritual world. The Mahatattva, or the sum total of the material creation, is to be understood to be the ultimate end of all universes, including all the living entities therein. Brahman is the resort of the Mahatattva, which includes all material and spiritual entities. It is described in this connection that the Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead, is the master of both Pradhan and Purusha. Pradhan means subtle matter, such as ether. Purusha means the spiritual spark living entities who are entangled in that subtle material existence. These may also be described as Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, being the controller of both the Prakritis, is thus the master of Pradhan and Purusha. In the Vedic hymns also, the Supreme Brahman is described as Anta Pravishta Shasta. This indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is controlling everything and entering into everything. The Brahma Samhita 5.35 further confirms this. And Antarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. He has entered not only the universes, but even the atom. In Bhagavad Gita 10.42, Krishna also says, Vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead controls everything by entering into everything. By associating constantly with the Supreme Personality in his heart, Dhruva Maharaj naturally became equal to the greatest, Brahman, by his association, and thus became the heaviest, and the entire universe trembled. In conclusion, a person who always concentrates on the transcendental form of Krishna within his heart can very easily strike the whole world with wonder at his activities. This is the perfection of yoga performance as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita chapter 6 verse 47. Yoginam api sarvesham. Of all yogis, the bhakti yogi who thinks of Krishna always within his heart and engages in his loving transcendental service is the topmost. Ordinary yogis can exhibit wonderful material activities known as ashtasiddhi, eight kinds of yogic perfection, but a pure devotee of the Lord can surpass these perfections by performing activities which can make the whole universe tremble. So, assez comprend tout le monde. Oui? No problem. Adaram mahadadinam pradana purusheshwaram brahmadaraya manusya trayolokash chikampire. When Dhruva Maharaj thus captured the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the refuge of the total material creation and who is the master of all living entities, the three worlds began to tremble. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharya Nirvishesha Shunyavani Vasti Jyadejitani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we read over the last few days, or some few days back, over a couple, two or three days, we read about Dhruva Maharaj's practice of yoga, particularly Ashtanga yoga, different physical disciplines, really, and also mental disciplines, focusing the mind. So he did that. Different particular types of disciplines. And the first one, the very first one was, he would only eat every 3 days. And when he would eat every 3 days, he would only eat fruits and berries. Now, this is austere. This is definitely austere. It can be done. Some of us may have fasted before for a few days. I don't know, but I have, and I know a number of people who have fasted for a few days. not get anything at all. For, in my case, I did a few occasions, but the main one was I fasted for, I think it was 7 days. No eating, nothing, and only drinking water. And it was a very interesting experience, actually. I wouldn't really recommend it, but it's almost worth doing just to experience it. In that, have you done that, Haridev Prabhu? Yeah, like a real fast. After, like on the third day, even maybe the second day to some degree, but on the third day, you stop being attracted by food. And there's just no, like on the fourth day, by the fourth day, it just, you don't even notice it. It doesn't register. Anyway, that's another thing. But eating only fruits and berries every third day, it's not impossible for a normal human being. Not that we recommend it at all, but it can be done. Although it's very austere. But then he got more into it. He did that for the first month. Then the second month, he ate only every 6 days. Now that's more austere. And what he ate every 6 days was only dry grass and leaves. Yes. And when we say leaves, we don't mean like nice spinach or nice lettuce, some nice leaves. We mean it's just dry grass and leaves, just from the trees, just any leaves. In the third month, he stopped eating. And he only drank water every 9 days. This is beginning to become, this is more or less superhuman. In the fourth month, he stopped drinking also, and he only inhaled air every 12th day. Hare Krishna. This is now completely in another dimension altogether. In the fifth month, he had controlled his breathing so perfectly that he was able to stand on only one leg, just like a column, like this pillar, stands without wavering. You know, you'd have to try to understand that it's not easy. So, and while doing this extreme physical exercise, he was also doing something Krishna conscious. He was chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He was chanting that, yes. So now we just read this verse, that as a result of all these things, he captured the Supreme Lord within his heart. Yes, so how did he actually capture the Lord? Did he, through, or by what means, what method did he use to capture the Lord? Was it just these very severe austerities? That if you come to the point of only breathing every 12 days, Krishna will come to you and give himself to you? No, that's not it. The point is not some extreme physical austerities and severe physical disciplines. He captured the Supreme Personality of Godhead based on his chanting and the effect of his chanting, which was purifying his heart and arousing his dormant Krishna consciousness within. That's how he captured the Lord. Otherwise, well, you know, breathing every 12 days, that's a bit tricky. But, you know, people go on hunger fasts. Who recently? Oh, I forget. I read maybe a couple of weeks ago, someone went on a hunger fast. You know, Gandhi used to go on hunger fasts from time to time. So people, sometimes some people, they go on hunger fasts. But they do not capture the Supreme Personality of Godhead by doing any type of just severe physical discipline. But people capture the Lord by rendering devotional service, and particularly amongst the different activities of devotional service, particularly by chanting the holy names. And to the point that we know, Lord Chaitanya emphasized that in this age, Harirnam, Harirnam, Harirnam Eva Kevalam. Kevalam means only that, purely that, nothing else. And Eva Kevalam is the term. Eva means definitely, certainly. This word Eva is a strong term of emphasis, that is definitely this. It's not something else at all. That type of strong emphasis. So because he chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, here we're talking about 6 months or 5 or 6 months, something like that. Because he did it so intensely and intently, he captured Krishna within his heart. And then, very interesting point which is brought out here, that because he did that, the planetary systems of the universe became affected. Anyway, we'll read on over the next few days the details of what happened, but basically the whole functioning of the universe became affected, and the three planetary systems, upper, middle, lower, they began trembling and shaking. Yes. Because Krishna, well, Dhruva became very heavy. How did he become heavy? Because he had Krishna within his heart, and Krishna is everything. And everything is heavy. Just an interesting little example. When Krishna subdued the Kaliya serpent, famous pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam, then, before, as he was beginning to get into the whole process for subduing Kaliya, Krishna jumped into the lake. The Yamuna was passing by, but at that point a lake had formed also, and the Yamuna was passing on one edge, but then sticking out was this lake. So so Krishna jumped in. When Krishna jumped in, Krishna was a few years old. I forget exactly, but it was before the Damodar Lila, I think. It was before the Damodar Lila. So Krishna's like 6 or 7 or 5, just a small child. But when Krishna jumped in, he created a tsunami. Massive wave went across the lake. And Kaliya heard this big splash. And Kaliya stuck his head up out of the lake, wondering, who is the rascal who has jumped into my lake? He's looking around trying to see. And suddenly he got hit by a tsunami. This is the description by our acharyas. Yeah, he got hit by a tsunami and it almost wiped him out. So the question arises, how is it, how could it be that when a 5, 6 or 7 year old child, or even possibly a little younger, if they jump into some water, now of course they're going to make a splash, but how could they create a tsunami? Some massive, giant wave, which then goes across the lake and has very powerful effects on the environment. How's it possible? Well, the answer is same, because Krishna is everything. Or perhaps more appropriate to say, everything is within Krishna. Everything. And everything is heavy. Very heavy. Mother Yashoda looked in the mouth of Krishna. And, well, Krishna, as you probably heard, Krishna had been accused of eating dirt by Balaram. So Mother Yashoda wanted to check, is it true or is it not true? So she looked in Krishna's mouth, and what did she see? Not some dirt. She saw the whole universe, the planetary systems and stars and everything. And she saw herself and Krishna. And Krishna was there with a cow. She saw the cow also within Krishna. So this is the point, and it's a very important point, that everything's within Krishna. Therefore, when Krishna jumps in or on something, there's an extremely severe impact. In that same pastime, subduing the Kaliya serpent, Krishna, after some time, he jumped on the heads of the serpent and danced. And he must have danced Kathak style. Do you know anything about traditional Indian dancing? Kathak is a specific style, and among other things, it involves stamping. Yeah, even in a rapid stamping. And I'm not so good at Kathak, so I won't give a demonstration. But like this, and just thump, 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 bang, 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 like that. So Krishna was dancing in that sort of style on the heads of Kaliya. And again, because Krishna's everything or everything is within Krishna, can you imagine if everything landed on your head and started just booting your head? Can you imagine? You know, we would disintegrate immediately. But because Kaliya was extremely powerful, he didn't just break into pieces or explode or just die on the spot. It took some time. And then he came to the point of almost dying, and then he surrendered to Krishna. Yes, but it's the same point. Krishna is everything, everything's within Krishna. And if everything landed on your head, it would hurt. The same principle is there, again, in a very interesting way. In the Damodar Leela, Mother Yashoda tried to tie Krishna. And of course, famously, she was not able to tie Krishna. So the question is, why? How could it be that she couldn't tie Krishna because Krishna was only 3 years old at the time? And, you know, really just a little child. So how could she not get enough rope to go around Krishna to tie him up? What do you think the answer is? Because she got kilometers of rope. But it was always two fingers too short. How could it be? Krishna, you know, you can look at Krishna. She was looking at Krishna. And Krishna's like this size and that much around the waist. Something like that as a three-year-old child. How is it that kilometers of rope, or even just 10 meters, couldn't go around his tummy? It was always two fingers too short. How's it possible? It's not possible. But anyway, it happens. So how's it possible? It's because Krishna's everything. Everything is within Krishna, even when he's a little boy. Just a small child, he remains the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everything is still within him. The whole universe is within him. So how much rope would you need to get around the whole universe? You know, that would really be a lot. And therefore, you know, maybe they had a couple of kilometers or something like that. Couple of kilometers is not going to help you to tie up the whole universe. And therefore it wasn't enough to tie up Krishna. But again, in that particular pastime, she managed to tie up Krishna. How was that? She finally got enough rope. Millions of kilometers or whatever it may be. And she finally got enough and tied him up. No, same principle as here with Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva captured the Lord within his heart based on his chanting and just based on becoming a devotee. Not through some physical exercise, breathing, restricting oneself in food and breathing or whatever it may be, standing in some difficult position. Not that. That's not the point. But because his dormant Krishna consciousness was gradually arising within his heart, therefore he was able to overpower Krishna. Krishna is influenced by love. And therefore Krishna entered his heart. And then he became more and more powerful. The three worlds trembled just because Krishna was within his heart. And we'll read on over the next few days that various other things happened throughout the universe. It's amazing. Just because of him. So we will continue tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Prashna. How do you say question in Creole? Question. Question. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.